Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Lewis Fine, and we have, as always, another great show with Kevin Guz from Homevestors Dallas. And today's topic is perhaps one of the most interesting because it is also one of the most unconventional. That is, Kevin will be speaking about the issue of it's not always about the money when it comes to real estate investing and looking at prospective properties. And this is a topic that hasn't been addressed before and is one that I find on a personal level quite intriguing. So let me bring Kevin on so he can discuss this. Kevin, welcome.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Lewis.
So let's dive right into this. You've said off air privately that when it comes to some real estate investment opportunities, it's not always about the money. Tell us about that.
Well, this is something that I learned through hard knocks and through experience. It definitely was not apparent to me as I began my career as a full-time professional real estate investor. But with that being said, over time, I did realize that this concept that it's not all about the money when it comes to purchasing a home from a seller, I realize this is a best-kept secret of successful real estate investors today. And when you realize this principle, the doors to so many more investment opportunities that probably would not be available to you otherwise in terms of real estate investing. And I'll tell you what I mean when I say it's not always about the money. You would think that the most important thing to a seller is for the investor to hit the seller's price objective or their price goal. They have a price in mind for their house, and if you were to say that number and agree to that number, it would be a done deal. At least you think it would be, but not necessarily so. And what I mean here is there are other factors involved in that seller's decision, and that price is very important. You know, let me be very clear. That number is very important to the seller, but think about the following three factors, because I will tell you through my experience as a real estate investor in Dallas, Texas, that these are equally as important to that price. And first of all, it's your ability as a real estate investor to build rapport with that particular seller. You have got to be a problem solver. You have got to be able to find the pain that that seller is experiencing and that is motivating them to sell their house. And you've got to be not sympathetic, but you've got to be empathetic to the challenges that they're currently facing so that you can solve their problem and ultimately purchase that house and remove that burden or that pain, whatever it may be from wherever it's coming, remove that from their life. And when you figure out these things, problem solving, identifying pain, showing empathy, you can build rapport. And that is critical in the mind of a motivated, distressed seller. When you can achieve rapport, you'll be surprised at what you can accomplish when negotiating to purchase their property. And put a little more simply, and this is so relevant to us in the real estate investment world, is as a real estate investor, under this umbrella of creating rapport, you've got to realize that you can create no value for yourself or your business, create and deliver value to others. And I'll say that again, you can create no value to yourself or your business in the form of profits or income or revenue until you create and deliver value to others. Think about it. When an investor buys a property, they're the last ones to collect a paycheck. Not until that property is sold does an investor profit from that investment. Think about all the people and entities that are paid prior to that investor. When they go to sell that property, there are realtors that are paid, there's title companies that are paid, there's taxes, there's insurance, there's mortgage companies, There's even contractors paid before the investors who came in and painted and repaired roofs. And when it's all said and done, whatever is left over after everybody has been paid, including the seller of that house who you originally bought it from, it's not until that time that the investor is paid. And that's a literal example of the key to you building rapport as an investor is recognizing that before you can derive value, you must create value and deliver value to everybody else. And then your benefits will come later. When you realize that, you understand how critical it is to build rapport and problem solve for others before you generate income and profit for yourself and your business. Rapport is critical.
In a word, trust. You have to build that social trust with an owner so you have the credibility to move forward.
Exactly. And you know, that's a perfect lead-in to my second point. If you understand the importance of building rapport, then here's the next secret of successful investors. When they realize it's not always about the money, they do realize, though, how important trust is. And that's point number two, is gaining the trust of that seller. You can have the best offer. You could have an offer that exceeds the seller's wildest expectations. But you know what? If they don't trust you to actually deliver on that offer, trust you to actually close the purchase of that sale, that offer is irrelevant, and chances are it's not going to be accepted, even though it may exceed their wildest expectations in terms of what they thought they could sell that house for. And you gain their trust through being knowledgeable and responsive and transparent. If they feel that you're not disclosing or not being honest or not being forthright, you will not gain their trust. I'll tell you a story. The second house I ever bought in my career as an investor, I didn't get it the first time I went in. I had an offer that didn't meet the seller's expectation. The next investor who literally drove up behind me as I drove away, they came in with an offer higher than mine, but ironically, and I didn't know this at the time, the seller, they from moment one did not have the confidence or trust in that investor, but they accepted the offer and declined mine purely because of the number. The number was higher. And lo and behold, I'll never forget it, several weeks later I was vacationing in Florida. And I got a call from that seller, and she told me, "Kevin, would you still buy my house?" And I knew she had a better offer than mine, and I asked her what happened. And she said, "Well, I had a bad feeling. I didn't trust that individual. I didn't have confidence. Though I had incredible trust and confidence in you, I didn't trust them, but I accepted their offer, and guess what? They failed to deliver. They failed to execute. They failed to close. And I need to sell my house, and I'd like to accept your offer, and I have full faith and trust that you'll successfully purchase my home." And I ultimately did, and it was a profitable transaction, and it was a great deal for both of us. So trust is equally as critical as rapport.
Which brings us to our third point. We have about 5 minutes remaining, but I want you to definitely speak to this in its entirety about why it's not always about the money. So go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, our third point on why it's not about the money. This is kind of the third secret of successful real estate investors who realize it's not always about the purchase price, and they create a competitive edge amongst investors in buying homes when they realize this third point. In addition to rapport, in addition to trust, it's professionalism. Several years ago, I was called to the home of a high-level law enforcement officer. And you know, this was a career law enforcement officer who came from the environment of law enforcement, as we know, where discipline is present, professionalism, decorum, all of those things that are characteristic of a successful law enforcement agency and a successful law enforcement leader, as this gentleman was. And he had called me out to purchase his home. And long story short, I did successfully purchase that home and satisfied and identified his pain and relieved him of that burden and purchased that home. But I will tell you, I did not offer what he wanted or hoped to get or even needed to get. I offered a number and ultimately purchased that home for even less than he owed. He ended up bringing money to the closing table to satisfy the balance of the mortgage owed. And this was not because I'm some great negotiator, but it was because we built rapport, he trusted me, and the third and final point, I was professional, which he expected because of his career in law enforcement, and it was important to him, and he recognized it. I was on time, I was dressed right, I had the proper documentation and responses, I had a business card, I had a pamphlet describing my business. These are all little elements that every real estate investor should have or strive to get. You know, it drives me crazy when I talk to a fellow investor on the phone and they tell me, I've got to go, I'm 30 minutes late for an appointment. Or I meet a fellow investor for lunch after they've had an appointment and they walk into the restaurant wearing shorts and flip-flops. Those are not the elements of professionalism that we need to display as investors. And I'm telling you here that many sellers, you may not get to their number, as I didn't with this particular law enforcement professional, but if you demonstrate professionalism, you'll get their trust, you'll build the rapport, and you'll ultimately be able to purchase the home.
All excellent points, as always. We've got 2 minutes remaining, and I just want to conclude with your remarks about, it seems to me that one of the hallmarks to this is maintaining communication with a homeowner. Tell us about that in these remaining 2 minutes, just as a reminder for people and about the professionalism that you always uphold.
Yeah, the communication is a key element, not only when you're sitting across the kitchen table or you're sitting on the couch with the homeowner talking through their challenges and their problems or their objectives with the sale of their home. You must be professional and build rapport and create trust during that conversation. But when you drive away, we don't always get to purchase the home on that first visit. And the old adage of follow up, follow up, follow up is key. You've got to communicate not only prior to the appointment when you're exploring the opportunity with the seller over the phone and trying to understand their goals before arranging the appointment, but you've got to do it equally after the appointment. Following up with handwritten notes. I send a thank you note to all my appointments, thanking them for inviting me into their home. I follow up with telephone calls. I follow up with emails. And though this may sound contradictory to what I've just talked about, professionalism or rapport or trust, I even text sellers. If I find through my rapport building process that they prefer to communicate via text or telephone or email, I will cater my communications to whatever medium I realize is important and comfortable and most productive for them. And that's all part of understanding that individual. Because you've got the rapport, you'll know how to communicate with them before, after, before, during, and after the actual appointment itself. And if you've got the right communication skills and the right communication mediums, you'll ultimately be successful as an investor and as successful in the purchase of investment properties.
Those are all commonsensical points. They're all on point, of course, and they all reflect the professionalism that you bring to bear with each transaction that you oversee. And in closing, this theme about it not always being about the money is so true, because communication, professionalism, and the way you comport yourself and the way you run your business as a franchisee of Homevestors, all of these things matter, and all of these things speak to the excellence of your abilities. Kevin, as always, a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Lewis.